It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
No mask, no problem. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. If you've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you may be able to ditch the mask in the great outdoors. The CDC issuing new guidelines today. Pandemic point man, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Risk of infection outside is really minimum. If you're vaccinated and you're outside, it's even less.
Dr. Marty McCary at Johns Hopkins University.
We got to give people something to look forward to. And right now, people need to be able to know that if they get vaccinated, there's a reward there.
Even though the mask mandate expected to be lifted today for fully vaccinated individuals, local cities and counties can still enforce mask rules as they see fit. Climate czar John Kerry under fire today for reportedly leaking Israeli military secrets to Iran. Former State Department spokesman Christian Witten says Kerry disclosed to Iran covert Israeli military operations that were underway in Syria.
There's a history of John Kerry thinking that he can use the John Kerry charm on dictators and outright enemies of the United States.
Kerry denies any wrongdoing. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley says he's guilty of tipping off Iran, the world's number one sponsor of terrorism, while stabbing one of our closest allies, Israel, in the back. That's from Nikki Haley. President Biden marks 100 days in office today and will highlight his upcoming agenda at a State of the Union-like address tomorrow. One-fourth of the usual number of lawmakers will be in attendance due to COVID restrictions. Florida Senator Marco Rubio finds that a bit ironic.
It's interesting when it came to like coming together to impeach Donald Trump for the second time after he was out of office, they put 100 senators in the same room sitting just inches apart for hours at a time over 5 or 6 days. Apparently COVID was not an issue then. But now, of course, for something like this, well, we can't have that many people in a room sitting next to each other. So it's a kind of silly season here.
Just 200 people will be in attendance in the U.S. House for tomorrow night's big speech from President Biden. Well, she was tapped to be America's border czar over a month ago, but Vice President Kamala Harris has yet to make a single trip to the border.
Can you imagine getting an assignment and just not doing it? She just shows no interest in it.
Brian Kilmeade of Fox News.
She's not doing it bad. She's not doing it at all. And I have no idea why she's getting a pass on this.
Harris plans to visit the Northern Triangle in June to discover the root causes of the migrant surge at the southern border. The Northern Triangle includes the nations of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. The first numbers are in from the 2020 census. They show America's population growth has not been this slow since the Great Depression.
Because of population shifts, Texas will pick up 2 seats in Congress. Florida, North Carolina, Montana, Colorado, and Oregon will each get one more. And for the first time, California is losing 1 seat, as are Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and New York, which, get this, was just 89 people short of keeping all of its seats.
How about that? That's Nora O'Donnell, anchorwoman of the CBS Evening News. The family of Andrew Brown, shot and killed by a cop in North Carolina, demanding a full release of the police body cam video.
We only saw a snippet of the video.
Brown was shot in the back of the head as he tried to back his car out of his driveway while being served an arrest warrant. His family says he was executed.
Andrew had his hands on his steering wheel. He was not reaching for anything.
My dad got executed just by trying to save his own life. It ain't right. It ain't right at all.
Brown was a notorious drug dealer in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, was selling to an undercover cop at the time that he was shot. As the struggle between police and communities intensifies, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says people need to see the whole picture when it comes to law enforcement.
Many members of the media have a narrative, and they only want to cherry pick and pick instances which show cops at their worst.
Kennedy says says cops don't wake up every morning going into work hoping they can hurt someone.
Most of them get up every day and go to work and hope they can themselves come back home alive.
On Capitol Hill, lawmakers continue work on a bipartisan effort to enact police reform. 6 in 10 voters, according to the latest Fox News poll, oppose cutting police budgets. Still to come on the Noon Report for Tuesday, the loss of people power in New York and Pennsylvania, why gas prices could be going higher soon, and COVID-caused learning loss. Is summer school the answer? We'll dig in after this.
Well, good afternoon to all. Behind a warm front, those temperatures are rising this afternoon. I've got the numbers and the complete forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. We will see you then. Thank you, Kevin Williams. We're checking the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, New York is a state of about 19 million people, but it came just 89 people short in the once-a-decade census. 89 people out of 19 million. And that will cost the Empire State a seat in Congress next year.
It's a razor-thin margin, and that makes a huge difference in terms not only of New York State's politics, in terms of losing a congressional seat, but can also impact federal aid to the state.
That's Blair Horner with the New York Public Interest Research Group. He says Republicans are at the mercy of Democrats when it comes to the redistricting process.
The Democrats are in the driver's seat when it comes to figuring out what districts will win and which ones will lose coming next year.
We might not know till next year how state and federal political boundary lines will be drawn in New York. There is a good chance that retiring Congressman Tom Reed's district could be carved up. And that would not be good news for the people in the southern tier. Well, for the 10th consecutive decade, the Keystone State is losing its clout in Congress. Like New York, Pennsylvania will lose one congressional seat in 2022. A five-member state legislative reapportionment commission, that's a mouthful, that will be tasked with redrawing Pennsylvania's boundary lines.
Four of them are the leaders of the General Assembly, Democrats and Republicans, and they are supposed to select a chairperson, the fifth member, who will have the deciding vote on how the lines are being drawn for House and Senate districts.
That is Nick Beatty. He's the executive director of Fair Districts PA. He says right now the political map of Pennsylvania is cumbersome and anything but fair.
They really are badly gerrymandered, some of the worst gerrymanders in the country.
And it will likely be next fall before we know what the new look political map will look like in Pennsylvania. Well, legislation moving through the New York Assembly would require all vehicles sold in New York be electric by the year 2035. Heavy-duty trucks would have to be electric one decade later. There are more than 11 million vehicles that are registered right now in New York State. If you thought gas prices were sky high in New York, which they are, it could be getting worse, much worse. New climate change legislation pending in Albany could hike fuel costs by as much as 55 cents a gallon. Republican State Senator Pam Helming.
This is a bad idea at any time. But given the state of our economy, how people are still trying to get their feet back on the ground, we're still in the midst of the pandemic, it's just a bad idea to add a new tax and a new fee to people.
The so-called Climate and Community Investment Act seeks to discourage carbon use through taxation. 24 Senate Democrats have signed on to it. They hope to pass the bill before they adjourn in June. Two new reports shed more light on the possible consolidation of Pennsylvania's state-owned universities. Family Life's Terry Diener has the very latest.
The documents available on the State System of Higher Education's website detail the preliminary plans for creating two consolidated states. state universities from 6. The system, which includes 14 universities, is considering the bold changes due to ongoing financial challenges. The conclusion in both reports recommends moving forward with the consolidations. It states the university consolidations set the stage for long-term viability focused on the students and regions those universities serve. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
In his first face-to-face encounter with journalists in months, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo flatly denied he did anything wrong with any of the women who've accused him of sexual harassment.
Yes or no, did you do the things you were accused of?
No. Didn't do anything wrong.
At the state fairgrounds in Syracuse Monday, Cuomo took questions from journalists in person for the first time since the harassment claims surfaced back in December. New York Republicans say more needs to be done to rein in the pandemic powers of the governor. Assemblyman Ed Raw says the action taken in March to curb his unchecked COVID power does not go far enough.
Ask a local business who's impacted by these mandates whether anything has majorly changed for them since they supposedly took the powers away. You know, they're still at the whims of the governor on a day-to-day basis.
While the state legislature has prevented the governor from issuing any new emergency directives, he is allowed to extend already existing orders, like the midnight curfew at bars and restaurants. Lawyers for former Penn State President Graham Spanier will be in court next month to try and keep him out of prison. A decade after the Jerry Sandusky child abuse scandal, Spanier has yet to serve any time behind bars. The ex-president was convicted several years ago of trying to cover up the scandal involving the former Penn State football coach. Marijuana is legal in New York, but it is still illegal to smoke pot while driving. Erie County's District Attorney John Flynn says a defendant that he is investigating was high while behind the wheel and wound up killing a woman in a head-on crash.
This is a case that I'm going to use basically to send a message that driving while you're under the influence of marijuana is not going to be tolerated.
The crime happened before marijuana was legalized, but the DA says the lesson still applies. Cops will take a zero-tolerance policy toward drugged driving. Adults are allowed to buy and sell up to 3 ounces of marijuana now in the state of New York. A PennDOT road worker was critically injured after being hit by a truck in Scranton yesterday. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Price with the Pennsylvania State Police says with the spring highway construction season in full swing, it's important to
slow down in work zones, obey posted speed limits, and please put your cell phone down and eliminate distractions.
All this week is National Work Zone Awareness Week, and today, Pennsylvania's Move Over Law takes effect. It increases penalties for motorists who don't steer clear of emergency scenes along the side of the highway. Niagara Falls, New York, Superintendent Mark Lori thinks students who suffered learning loss during the COVID pandemic will need summer school to catch up. He says trying to play catch-up during the normal school year is a bad idea.
What we're not going to do is try and rush and jam and cram everything to a year. That's counterproductive to kids.
Laurie says some kids may need 3 consecutive years of summer school to make up for the learning loss. The 2-Minute Drill next in sports with Sonny Delfiette and some interesting baseball trivia to start.
Yeah, Bob, you and I talked about it in the hall. Los Angeles Angels dual threat star Shohei Ohtani has achieved a feat not seen in Major League Baseball in 100 years. Ohtani was the starting pitcher for last night's game against the Texas Rangers. He also came into the game tied for the Major League lead with 7 home runs. That's the first time a starting pitcher led the league in home runs since Babe Ruth did it with the Yankees back in 1921. That impressed Angels manager Joe Maddon.
Well, his delivery gets cleaner, and then once he gets ahead in the count, he's got that wipeout splitter. Then on offense, I mean, he did everything there, including bunting for a hit. I mean, if you weren't entertained by watching him tonight, you can't be entertained watching a game of baseball.
The Angels also again willingly gave up their designated hitter so Ohtani could pitch and bat second. He struck out 9, drove in 2 runs. Angels beat the Rangers 9-4 on the road. Ohtani was tied for their home run lead until Rhys Hoskins did this.
And a high fly ball to deep left field. Going back is O'Neill. That one is long gone.
up into Big Mac land.
And this.
Fly ball out to left center field. That's pretty well hit. Going back is Carlson to the wall. Did he do it again? He did.
Two homers in the game that take the home run lead with eight on the season. Phillies beat the Cardinals 2-1. In Baltimore, Cedric Mullins hit a pair of solo homers. The O's beat the Yankees 4-2. Aaron Judge says the Pinstripes will get it together.
Yeah, so I think it's just about taking a step back and going back to our preparation and putting our work in and trusting.
Elsewhere, Cleveland beat the Twins 5-3. The streak is over in the NBA for the New York Knicks. Last night, they entered their game against an equally hot Phoenix Suns team, riding a 9-game winning streak. Chris Paul didn't care.
Throws it up in the basket. Oh, it goes in! Chris Paul with a circus shot, and the Knicks are down 5.
The Suns rally for a 118-110 win. Elsewhere, the 76ers pound the Thunder 121-90. Raptors keep their playoff hopes alive, beating the Cavaliers 112-96. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
All right, thank you kindly, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, no mask necessary if you're vaccinated and outdoors. The school in Florida that won't let its workers get the vaccine, and a hometown hero shares his story of how he overcame alcohol addiction.
California is conducting a social experiment when it comes to gender in their prisons. Well, early results are now in. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last fall, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed the Transgender Respect Agency and Dignity Act, a bill which, among other things, would allow incarcerated transgender, non-binary, and intersex people to be housed and searched in a manner consistent with their gender identity. Since this law went into effect back in January, in a new case of what might be called rapid onset gender dysphoria, over 200 prisoners have already requested to be transferred from men's prisons into those detaining women. As of April the 6th, not a single request has been denied. Now imagine attempting to explain this law to someone 20 years ago. Even if abuse of all sorts wasn't already a real problem in America's prison population, this would still be thought of as a bad idea. Until quite recently, in fact, California's law, not to mention the ideology upon which it is based, would have been unthinkable. Even more, all of the warnings, and there were plenty of warnings, that embracing certain ideas about sex and marriage and gender would make laws like this inevitable, earned accusations of being exaggerations or slippery slopes. And if the Biden administration is successful in making the Equality Act federal law, well then California's idiosyncrasies would be national law. This whole thing is a case study in how the unthinkable becomes first inevitable and then unquestionable. Now, in reality, of course, perceptions of or claims to gender identity do not change chromosomes. They do not eliminate male desire, nor do they weaken male physical strength when compared to women. To ignore all of these realities of the physical world is not only to our peril, but to the peril of the women who will now be trapped with biological males without their consent. This whole thing is a case study in how the unthinkable becomes first inevitable and then unquestionable. 2,000 years ago, the pagan worldview of Gnosticism proclaimed a denigration of physicality. What that means is that Greco-Roman thinkers often thought that the material world was less valuable or even contrary to the good of the spiritual realm. Gnosticism's condemnation of the physical even snuck into the church, proclaiming that Jesus could not have been fully human or have a real body. Well, the church, in light of the robust view of creation clear from Scripture, soundly and repeatedly condemned Gnosticism as heresy. And still, yet, elements of this hyper-spirituality continued to cling to Western thought throughout the centuries and continued to pop up again and again, both in culture and the church, proclaiming that the fleshly concerns of the physical world either did not matter, or even worse, should just be fully rejected. Well, the latest form of Gnosticism to pop up is what's being seen in this new California law and in these California prisons, not to mention across the country in so many other ways. The reality of the physical male body and the bodily danger posed to female inmates, not to mention the bare essentials of physical biology. One warden even announced that this law would mean new maternity wards in female prisons, where they've all been dismissed by this new Gnosticism. You might remember that the Colson Center was founded as a part of a ministry devoted to extending love and dignity to the men and women behind bars. Chuck Colson founded Prison Fellowship to take seriously the words of Jesus Christ that can be read in Matthew 25. Placing female prisoners in physical danger, that's not a way to love them. Certainly not a way to care for them. Truly loving any image bearer of God including those who are incarcerated, must involve loving them as they truly are, including the creational goodness of their physical bodies. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
18 past the hour. Let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Mild clouds, sunshine, and high temperatures in the 60s and low 70s in much of the area. It could be the mid and upper 70s in parts of western Pennsylvania. For tonight, partly cloudy, but mostly cloudy near Lake Ontario with a shower thunderstorm risk. There, low temps 50. For tomorrow, clouds will rebuild across the air with some showers and storms stretching from New York and dropping south into Pennsylvania later in the day. Highs in the 70s. Cooler Thursday, cloudy with some rain. High temperatures in the upper 50s to the upper 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much at the Weather Center. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for listening. Here's what's happening this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of April. Calls are growing louder for John Kerry to resign after he leaked audio tapes, or he didn't leak them, they were leaked. These audio tapes show him revealing Israeli military secrets to Iran. Former State Department spokeswoman Morgan Ortegas.
And so you have to look at this pattern of behavior of supporting the Iranians. And what's key here is that John Kerry also has a pattern of undermining Israel.
The leaked audio recordings reveal Kerry disclosing to the Iranian foreign minister details about Israeli missile strikes in Syria. Kerry currently serves as President Biden's climate czar. Before that, he was Secretary of State in the Obama administration. No mask. No problem. The White House announcing new guidance for mask wearing while outdoors. The Biden administration expected to lift the face mask requirement today for the fully vaccinated in the great outdoors.
For the most part, they're really going with the science where we have seen almost no cases of transmission that can be linked to people outside.
Dr. Kimberly Hall at Columbia University.
We are at a point where we can resume our normal lives.
95 million Americans are fully vaccinated. 140 million have received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. India has set a new record for daily COVID infection.
India's healthcare system overwhelmed by an explosive surge in infections, patients have been forced to wait outside hospitals for hours. Many are dying in the streets, unable to receive treatment amid a scarcity of oxygen and drugs like remdesivir. The U.S. and other countries are sending aid, including ventilators and vaccine ingredients.
Lucy Kraft reporting, for the first time, a man has reported getting a blood clot after getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Up until now, all the reported side effects came from women. This man lives in San Francisco and developed a blood clot in his leg after getting the J&J jab. A private school in Florida will not allow its teachers to get the COVID vaccine. Will not allow. Here's correspondent Roy O'Neill.
In an email to parents, operators of Miami's Centner Academy said they would not employ anyone who's taken the experimental COVID vaccine. The New York Times first obtained the email that included the unfounded claim that vaccinated people may be transmitting something from their bodies that could harm others' reproductive systems or their natural growth. The private school has about 300 students enrolled, with middle school tuition set at $30,000. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you, Rory. President Biden marking 100 days in office today. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson says the commander-in-chief is disappointed when it comes to his promise to govern from the center.
I think we're real clear on President Biden's vision at this point. And it's open borders. It's closed schools.
He says the president has not always been this extreme.
Having served 50 years in and around the Senate, he should know how to bring people to the table, both Democrats and Republicans, to actually solve problems. But he refuses to even try. He has completely gone with executive orders. So the only relationship he has is with his pen.
Most polls show most Americans give the president a favorable rating 100 days into his administration. U.S. population growth has slowed to its lowest rate since the Great Depression. The Census Bureau says 331 million people call the USA home now. Shifting populations to the South and West means Florida, Colorado, Oregon, North Carolina, and Montana will gain congressional seats. Texas will pick up two. 2. California, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, and West Virginia will all lose a seat. For California, this marks the first time in 170 years of statehood that it will be losing representation in Congress. California Governor Gavin Newsom could lose his job after 1.6 million residents signed an effort to recall him.
This is certainly not unfamiliar territory for California voters. 18 years ago in 2003, the then Governor Gray Davis was recalled, and voters chose to replace him with actor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Correspondent Steve Farterman says this latest recall election could happen in the fall. Three new pro-life measures set to take effect this fall in Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt signed the bill yesterday that would ban most abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Another measure would require additional certification requirements for anyone who performs abortions in Oklahoma. And the third classifies abortion procedures as unprofessional conduct for doctors. The laws take effect, as we said, in November in Oklahoma. Well, the wolf population is getting out of control in one western state.
Lawmakers in Idaho are debating legislation that would allow 90% of the state's wolf population to be killed. Many Republican legislators think there are too many wolves in the state that are a threat to the lucrative cattle industry. The animals were introduced into the state in 1995.
Jim Crisula reporting, 24 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Richard Kaufman, a former addict and member of the military. He now coaches others to avoid the mistakes he once made.
I was addicted before I joined the military. I was an alcoholic by the age of 13. So when I joined the military, I was an alcoholic. And then I found drugs. And that's when Uncle Sam decided he didn't want me as a nephew anymore. And that's when he booted me out. And so I think the military just makes you more of whatever you are. So if you're a good person, it makes you more of a good person. If you were a rotten person like I was at that time, it just makes you more of a rotten person.
By the age of 13, a full-blown alcoholic, why?
My father left when I was 3 months old. My mom was an addict. So it was just kind of helped me escape reality, where I became a different person when I had that first drink. And I felt my body light up, and I felt like a different person. So that's when I became Rick instead of being Richard. So I think that's when I kind of had a different personality when I was drinking.
You joined the military, and then what happens?
Spent 2.5 years in, and then I got into a lot of trouble, got locked up, and they eventually threw me out for being a drug addict and alcoholic. And by the grace of God, I got back in the military and spent over 23 years in the military between Army and National Guard.
Suffered some PTSD. Share with us how you were able to overcome a lot of this stuff and where you're at today.
9/11 really changed my whole life, because actually where I'm sitting right now, we're overlooking the Twin Towers, where they once stood. And, you know, we knew people that were in the towers that day. So something became, I became a broken man that day. And that's when I dedicated my life to trying to help people that can't help themselves.
So would you say overall the experience in the military was good for you?
Yes, it was very good. It taught me how to be a man. It taught me honesty, integrity, loyalty. It taught me everything that I am today.
And for those who've hit rock bottom, many times they're the best folks to give advice. They've been there. They've seen that. Now, how did you bounce back?
I had to do a lot of self-reflection, and I had to do three things that I tell everybody, that because I'm a coach, and three things that I tell them. You know, I've been in recovery for 32 years now. I haven't had a drink or drug since 89. First, you have to forgive people that have hurt you. Second, you have to ask for forgiveness of people that you've hurt. And third of all is you have to forgive yourself for things that you've done in the past. You can't move forward if you're always holding on to the past.
Key word there, forgiveness. It's easy to say, tough to do, one of the toughest things to do. You're known, as you mentioned there, as the comeback coach in your community. Tell us about that.
Well, just because I've personally come back from, you know, drug addiction, alcoholism, homelessness, PTSD, a traumatic brain injury, and now blindness. So I've had to come back through a lot, and I guess maybe sometimes I'm just too dumb to quit. So I just keep coming back. And a lot of people, you know, they I don't think my story is that interesting, but they do. I'm relatable to a lot of people because a lot of people they either know somebody that has addiction problems or they have it themselves. So I'm a little bit more relatable than a lot of people out there.
Well, a lot of us, and this pandemic hasn't been good for those struggling with addictions. A lot of times people are coping by staring at the bottom of an empty bottle every night, popping the pills, smoking pot, whatever it takes to get by, they're doing. And COVID has been the catalyst for that. What's your message to those folks, Richard, struggling to get by just to see the next day? A lot of those folks are listening right now. What are you telling them?
Well, I just threw my own mental health summit April 3rd. It was called Today I Decide. And what that means is the three most important words in the English language are today I decide. You can decide not to go to bed the same person that you woke up as. It's up to you to make that decision. And then all you have to do is act upon it. If anybody's struggling, they can realize that they don't have to be that person they are anymore. Mm. They can change. Anybody can change. Use those three words, today I decide.
That's Richard Kaufman, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. And Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Just click on the news icon. Look for the podcast, Hometown Heroes.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As a warm front has lifted north of the area, temperatures today running much higher than they were yesterday. It will be on the mild side into tomorrow. But that front, with the leading edge of the warmth, that drops back south later in the week with showers, thunder, and then much cooler air. For this afternoon, mild, much milder than yesterday. Clouds, sunshine, and high temperatures in the 60s and low 70s in much of the area. It could be the mid and upper 70s in parts of western Pennsylvania. For tonight, partly cloudy, but mostly cloudy near Lake Ontario with a shower thunderstorm risk. There, low temps, 50s. For tomorrow, clouds will rebuild across the area with some showers and storms stretching from New York and dropping south into Pennsylvania later in the day, highs in the 70s. Cooler Thursday, cloudy with some rain. High temperatures in the upper 50s to the upper 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Find that noon. Meet the lawnmower boy from Wilkes-Barre, Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
11-year-old Charlie Isaac mows yards free of charge for the elderly, disabled, and those who've served in the military. The fifth grader in the Dallas School District says he was motivated by the 50-yard challenge, a national campaign that encouraged folks who can to mow the lawns of 50 homebound people. Isaac says he plans to double that this summer. He'll be mowing 100 yards for those in need in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
He's just 11, folks. What a great story. Thank you, Brandon. That's the world we live in. Tuesday, April 27th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.